Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. A phenomenon of the megachurch movement of the last 30 years or so has been the trend toward what has been called seeker-friendly or seeker-sensitive assemblies. The premise for such assemblies is that there is a large group of people in society that has either abandoned traditional Christianity or has no background or heritage in the Christian religion. Those who are in this last subset are often called the unchurched. In the 1980s, the prime movers in the megachurch movement began to tailor special assemblies each week that were aimed at this constituency. The assumption was that these either disliked traditional Christian worship activities or were intimidated by them because they had never experienced them. As a result, these men developed and promoted activities that would appeal to their target audience. This included a move to contemporary music, a more casual atmosphere, the use of drama and multimedia displays, and a de-emphasis of common Christian themes such as repentance and common Christian rites such as baptism and communion. By making the focus of worship assemblies the desires and interests of those who may attend them, seeker services have become increasingly more secular. In fact, in some churches, these assemblies are no longer called worship. The infatuation with this fad has been so great that its influence is being felt in many churches, affecting how they conduct their worship, even though they do not recognize that they have allowed it to do so. There have always been seekers, of course, but not all seekers are the same. They may have different motivations for their interest in the Christian faith or different agendas. Most certainly, not all seekers are interested in the truth. Today, we're going to consider what the Bible says about seekers and the kind of seekers that God desires. Now, while the Lord was on the earth, there were many who sought him out. Shortly after his birth, wise men came from the east to worship him, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. At that time, King Herod told the wise men that he too wished to worship Jesus, but his intent was to kill the Lord, as evidenced by his slaughter of all the boys from 2 years old and younger in the city of Bethlehem once the wise men had departed, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. Herod was the first of many who were unworthy seekers of the Lord. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, John records the incident in which the Lord fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The next day, the crowd went looking for Jesus when they realized that he had gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee during the night. In John chapter 6, verses 24 to 27, John tells us what happened that day. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Now, in this instance, the Lord recognized that most of the people who were seeking him were not as interested in his teaching as they were in the food that he had miraculously provided for them the previous day. This assessment was borne out shortly thereafter when many stopped following the Lord. He taught them that he was the bread of life, and they were unwilling to accept this teaching. So these people sought Jesus, but they also were unworthy seekers. Another unworthy seeker was a descendant of the Herod who slaughtered the male children in Bethlehem at the time of the visit of the wise men. His name was also Herod, and he was the king who beheaded John the Baptist. When this Herod heard what Jesus was doing, he was greatly perplexed, thinking John had been raised from the dead. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 9, the scripture says, "Herod said, 'I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?' And he kept trying to see him." Now, Herod's interest in Jesus had nothing to do with a desire to learn God's will. As it turns out, Herod was only interested in Jesus in the way one might be interested in a carnival sideshow. We learn this from Luke's record of the Lord's trials after his betrayal. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 8, Luke records Herod's reaction when Pilate sent Jesus to him to be questioned. Luke says, "Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him." So Herod sought Jesus, but like so many others, he was an unworthy seeker, because he was not seeking the Lord in order to obey him. If we had more time to do so, we could list additional examples of those who are unworthy seekers of the Lord. These that we've looked at, however, are sufficient to demonstrate the validity of the point. In contrast to these who sought the Lord in an unacceptable or unworthy manner, there were many others during his earthly ministry and after who were worthy seekers. For a few moments, we'll consider some of them. One such person was a man named Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we find the record of his encounter with Jesus. From Luke's account, we know that Zacchaeus was a seeker because he made a point of going out to where Jesus was passing through his town. Luke 19 and verse 3 says that Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, but could not see him because he was too short to see over the crowds. This tells us that Zacchaeus was a seeker, but what happened afterwards demonstrates that he was a worthy seeker. When Zacchaeus was unable to see Jesus because of the crowds, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, a position of great importance in the Roman provincial government. For him to climb up in a tree to see Jesus was undignified for one in his position. But his desire to see Jesus was so great that he set aside his dignity in order to climb the tree to see him. This shows us that Zacchaeus was a worthy seeker of the Lord. A second evidence of Zacchaeus' worthiness is shown in his declaration to Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. You see, people in the crowd accused Zacchaeus of being a sinner. This was because he worked for the Romans and because it was generally assumed that tax collectors enriched themselves by cheating their fellow Jews. Zacchaeus protested these accusations by pointing out his obedience to the law of Moses. Now, the original language there indicates that Zacchaeus was already giving generously to the poor, and it expresses his desire that if he had ever defrauded anyone, he was already in the habit of restoring the overcharge to them in accordance with Old Testament law. The Lord's lack of response to Zacchaeus' declaration indicates his approval of Zacchaeus' actions and the truthfulness of his assertions. So we see that Zacchaeus was indeed a worthy seeker. Another example of worthy seekers is found in John chapter 12, verses 20 to 22. John says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus." Now these Greeks were worthy seekers on two counts. First of all, they had already turned from the pagan religions of their countrymen to Judaism. Whether they were actual proselytes to Judaism or simply what the Jews called God-fearers is not known. But there is no question that they were seeking to do God's will. Secondly, they, like Zacchaeus, were willing to break social protocol in order to seek an audience with Jesus. When they asked to see Jesus, the language they used indicated their desires to have an interview with him. You see, they wanted to speak with him. They wanted to listen to his teachings and very likely to ask him questions about properly serving God. These men figuratively went out on a limb to seek Jesus, and most commentators agree that they were rewarded by being allowed to listen with the others who were gathered around the Lord as he foretold his death and as God's voice thundered from heaven to validate his teaching. So these Greeks were worthy seekers. The final example of worthy seekers that we will consider today is that of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. Now Luke wrote this account. "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul and Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. Now these things happened during Paul's second missionary journey, in which many converts were made and many churches were established. Nevertheless, Luke singled out the Bereans for special recognition. He said of them that they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Now even though converts were made in both cities, the Bereans possessed the superior qualities. But what made them more noble-minded? Well, it was the manner in which they sought the truth. Look again at verse 11, and two qualities are demonstrated of their worthiness as seekers. First, the scripture says that they received the word with great eagerness. In other words, they had a passion for God's word. They did not simply receive it, they received it with great eagerness. They were anxious to hear God's word. Secondly, they did not take anything for granted. Luke says that they examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now, remember that an apostle of Jesus Christ was preaching to them, but still they verified every word he spoke by checking it against the scriptures. They showed nobility of mind in another very important way, and that is when they had received and verified the word, they believed it. In other words, they obeyed it. The Jews turned away from the Jewish religion, and the Greeks turned away from paganism. They surrendered their wills to the Lord's will and became Christians by obedience to the gospel. So these Bereans, both Jews and Gentiles, were worthy seekers in that they turned away from their old ways in order to follow the Lord. And worthy seekers today will do the same thing. Now there are many today who consider themselves to be seekers of the Lord. We know that they are out there because so much effort is being expended to try to entice them into the assemblies where they may be exposed to Jesus Christ. Even so, too many of these seekers actually are unworthy seekers. They are not noble-minded truth seekers like the Bereans. Well, how do we know this? We know this because they refuse to examine the scriptures to see if what they are being taught is true. How do we know this? We know it because when they are told the truth, they very often refuse to obey it. During the course of the Lord's ministry, he met with some Jews who believed in him. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he told them, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Noble-minded truth seekers will take these words to heart, and they will do whatever the Lord has commanded in his word and all that he has commanded in his word in order to be saved. They will continue to seek the Lord by doing what he commands them to do. Considering the things that we have studied together today, what kind of seeker are you? Are you one who's simply curious or interested only in the physical benefits you might derive from participating in some worship assembly? Or are you a noble-minded truth seeker like the people of Berea? In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So then, what kind of seeker are you? Your eternal destiny depends upon your answer to that question. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.